Begin the current daf Maseches by Dezar daf Nun Dalet. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the discussion of the topic of this Masechta, this parak, discussing the laws of Avodah Zarah, specifically the laws of Neved regarding something that was worshipped in regards to the consequence of the status of that item. So Tanu Lina Braisa, Neved, regarding an animal that was worshipped, which now, because of its repulsive state that it was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, becomes forbidden to be used, like Vaya, for the purposes of Hektish, of carbon and things like that. So on that, says the Braisa, it depends. If Shaloi, if it was his when he bowed down to it, worshipping like Avodah Zarah, then it becomes forbidden, like Vaya. But if it was someone else's item, someone else's animal, and he bows down to it, then it's permitted, it does not become forbidden, like Vaya. Which means to say that he does not have the ability to make someone else's animal Asr as Avodah Zarah. Vermini, on that, the Gemara asks the contradiction of the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ezehu Neved, what's qualified as an animal that was worshipped, that's like, it was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and therefore for sure it's going to be at least Asr Ligvaya? Says the Braisa, Kol Sha'ivdim Isai, any animal which is worshipped, Bein Meshagig, or Bein Bemezer, whether erroneously, whether deliberately, Bein Be'ainis, Bein Beratzin, whether coerced, or whether willingly, which Mezer and Ratzin, deliberately and willingly, is really the same thing, it's just saying the contrast, because Shagig and Oinus are not the same thing, which are erroneously or coerced, so therefore it says the contrast terms of those, which is Shagig and Mezid, and Oinus and Ratzin. But one thing says the Gemara is, Hai Oinus Hei Chadami. What does it mean that if it was worshipped forcibly, what's that case? Lav Kugain de Onas Behemes Chaveir Vishtachavala isn't the case that we're talking about, where because somebody forcibly worshipped someone else's animal, he didn't let, but someone else went and worshipped it, and we see it becomes Neved, it does become Asr, that contradicts the first Braisa, which said that Neved does not qualify when it's someone else's animal. So that Amram Bachami answers, Loi, no, that's not the case of Oinus, that the Braisa is saying becomes Asr as Neved when it's worshipped. Where idol worshippers, non-Jews, they force a Jew, and they force the Jew to worship his own animal. His own animal, he can make Asr as Neved. Someone else's animal, he cannot. Like the first Braisa. Oinus here is talking about when they force him to worship his own animal, then it does become Asr. Now, on this answer, Matzkeh Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira asked him, but we know the halacha, Oinus Rachmona Patre, when something happens to someone forcibly, when he violates something, the Torah exempts him. Something like the Pasuk says regarding Vilanara Leis Asadav, regarding a woman that was raped, and she wasn't being Mazana. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything, and nothing gets done to her because she was coerced. So we see that a person doesn't get penalized for that from the Torah. So why are we saying that if he was forced to worship his own animal, that an animal becomes Asr? El Amar Rava, rather Rava says as follows. He says, Hakol Hayu, all the categories, whether Oinus, if it is forced, or Ratzon, if it did it willingly, was Bechlal Loisa of them, was included when the Torah says, do not worship an animal. Now, when the Pasuk specifies v'chai behem, that all the mitzvahs I give you, including Avodah Zarah, is that you should live by them, which the interpretation is v'lo yishyamas behem, but you shouldn't die through them. So yatsa oinus, that excludes if someone's being forced, which is if you don't worship your animal, we're going to kill you, then yeah, the Torah exempts him from liability. But v'hadah kasa rachman, then the Torah goes again and tells the Pasuk that says v'lo yisachalu Hashem kachi, do not desecrate my holy name. What's that coming to include? To tell you that even if a person is forced, still it's forbidden to worship the animal. So okay, so how do we qualify that? Is it v'chai behem, and that if a person is being forced, then it's not a problem about worshiping the Avodah Zarah? Or do we say that no, it is a problem because it says lo yisachal Hashem kachi even by einus? So okay, so how to resolve the two pesukim? Habitzina, one of them is talking about in private, in discreet. V'habefahesi, the other pasuk is talking about when it's out in the public. Out in the public, that's what the pasuk says, Lo yisachalu, do not desecrate my holy name. Where when we're telling you the halacha that by oinus the second braisa says it's going to be asr, that's b'fahesia, because that's actually the end of that pasuk of Lo yisachalu Hashem kachi, says v'nigdashi b'seich b'nei Yisrael, amongst the assembly of the Jewish people. That is the case when the second braisa says oinus is going to be asr, because even though generally we say oinus is pater, well, that's in private, in public, a person is not desecrate Hashem's name, even regarding an oinus, then it's going to be asr. The first braisa is talking about, but sin in private. Now, Amr le Rabbanan le Rava, the Rabbanan said to Rava, who gave this interpretation, that Tanya de Masei Elach, there's a braisa that supports what you just said. The braisa says, b'mesu'ayos chal evde kechavim b'shas egzir, regarding the platforms of idols at a time of a decree, which is the time of Shmad, which is, these are public displays when they're forcing the Jews to practice Avodah Zarah. And moreover, it's a situation of Einus, when they're being forced for the Jews to have to do Avodah Zarah. Says the Braisa, Afa Pishak Zerah Batla, so even after the decree of the non-Jewish authorities has stopped, and the Jews don't have to worship Avodah Zarah anymore, Eishin B'misiyah Yisli Batlu, those platforms are not nullified, and they're always going to be us as Avodah Zarah. Why? You see, although the Jews were worshipping Ba'inis, but since it was B'fahesia, that's like you said, that that's just an interpretation of the second Braisa, that says it's going to be us. Amalhu Rabbah said to them, no, Imisham Haf, that's where you're coming from, Lutasayin, that's not necessarily going to support me. Because Amer Yisrael Mumar Hav Upalach Labaratzim, you could say, the reason why these platforms remain forbidden is because maybe one of the Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah during that whole period of Shmad, of forcible service of Avodah Zarah on the Jewish people, there was a rebellious Jew over there and he actually worshipped it willingly. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah willingly makes it Avodah Zarah and it's Asa forever. But if it was really only Ba'inus, and even though Bevehesia, maybe it actually would not be Asa. So it's no proof to me. Rav Asher, he takes it one step further. Loitema Amer, don't say that I could say. Elevada Yisrael Mumahava. No, most definitely there was at least one rebellious Jew, Upalach Labaratzin, and he definitely did worship it willingly, and that's why we're going to say it's Asa forever, these platforms, not because Oinus is Asa Bevehesia. Because it's not possible, says Rav Ashi, that from all the Jews who were worshipping the Avodah Zarah at that period, that there wasn't at least one of them who actually went and threw off the yoke of Torah and decided that he's going to worship the Avodah Zarah faithfully. Because when he sees the Jewish people being so downtrodden, then he turns his heart towards, must be that, you know, the Judaism is not the right way, and he worships the Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's going to be Asa, but not for sure not any support for Rava, because it's not about Einus, it's actually someone who does a Baratzim. A second answer the Gemara brings, Chizki Amar, says, regarding the original question in this contradiction, where the first Braisa says that Nevet is not a problem when it's someone else's animal, and the second Braisa made it sound like that it is a problem, because we said, what's the case of Oinus? It sounds like you're forcing, meaning on someone else's animal, because he's worshipping someone else's animal. So the first answer said, no, that's not the case. It's talking about when they forced the Jew himself to worship his own animal. And that Chizki says, no, the truth is, like we had asked in our question, that the second Braisa that's talking about Einus, of Neved being Usser, is talking about where he forcibly worships someone else's animal. And even so, it's not a contradiction with the first Braisa. Because the second Braisa that says that the animal is going to be Usser is Kagain Shenisich Lavidis Kechovim Yain Al Karneha. It's not that, like the first Braisa, where he just bowed down to it. He actually poured wine, which is one of the services of the Avodah Zarah, of a wine libation, for the Avodah Zarah, on the horns of the animal, where he did an actual action in the animal. He's pouring wine on the head, there's actual physical things running down its head, whereas the Gemara will learn on Amud Beis, that most definitely will make the animal aser. So although bowing down to an animal, when he's not doing actual anything to the animal itself, just worshipping it, that doesn't make it aser, but doing an action to the animal, that's going to make it aser. Now, this answer of Chizki, Maskev Lerav Adber Abi, asks, Hai Nevedu? What? You're considering this because both Bryces were using the term of Neved. What's the case of an animal that's worshipped? Neved, you can't call Neved when you're doing an act of service to a different Avodah Zarah by pouring a wine libation on this animal's head. Neved is only when you make the animal itself into an Avodah Zarah. Hai, the case you're describing, Bimus Ba'amahu Deshav, and the gear says Deshavyua. All you're doing is you're making the animal into a platform to do an Avodah for the service of whatever Avodah Zarah he's worshipping. But an animal does not become Aser as Meshamshe Avodah Kechavim, as a secondary to an Avodah Zarah. That's not doing an action of that will not make the animal Aser Ligvaya. It has to be if you're making the animal itself into Avodah Zarah. What does it help if you're doing an action on the animal, but it's not worshipping the animal as Avodah Zarah? You're using it as ancillary to a different Avodah Zarah. That doesn't make it Aser. To Elam Rav Adbar Abba, he says a third answer. He says, Kegon Shenisich Lo Yain Bin Karneha, where he went and he poured for the animal wine between its horns, meaning he made the animal into an Avodah Zarah and the Avod B'Maisa, and he's also doing an action to the Avodah Zarah in the animal itself. But just bowing down or some other worship, which is not doing an action to the animal itself, that a person, like we said, cannot be Isa, Davish and Shli, cannot make someone else's animal forbidden, which is not his, and that wouldn't be problematic. But it's also not enough just to do an action, because the animal will not become Asa, because it itself is not Avodah Zarah. So the way he's answering is that He's worshiping the other person's animal, and not only that, he's doing an action to it that's going to make it aser. As the Gemara says, "V'chihad asa ula amr b'yechna." Like this, when Ula came, he said, "Over name Rabbi Yechna." Ava pisha amru hamashtach v'lebehem es chaveru le'aser. Although they said in this halacha, the first brisa, that if someone bows down to his friend's animal, he does not make it forbidden. But aser b'maisa aser. But if he does an action to it, then he will make it forbidden because that's something physically that was done to the animal. That happened. But there's a person's intent. Worshipping that he can't do if it's not his own animal. That's the two brises in a nutshell, where the one that says it's mutter is when he bows down, the one that says us when he does an action to worship that animal itself. Now, Amalu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to them, Puku v'omru le'lula, go out and tell Ula, who we just quoted from the name of Yechanan, Kfar Tirgim Rav Huna l'shmaitech b'bavl. Rav Huna already said over, interpreted this teaching for you in bavl. Because Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna had said the same halacha already. We don't need you, Ula, coming down and telling us this halacha. Rav Huna said, if his friend's animal was laying down in front of an idol, Avodah Zarah, so even though if the owner, it's not the owner, but someone else goes and slaughters one of the two semanim, which are the signs regarding the food pipe and the windpipe that's in the animal, if he slaughters one of those for Avodah Zarah, Astra, he really makes the animal forbidden. That's the idea that we're saying, because although he cannot make someone else's animal forbidden, but if you do an action to the animal, it will make it forbidden as avodah zarah. And says the Gemara, Menol and Asra. So where do we know this halacha from? That if someone does an action to someone else's animal, it will make it asra as avodah zarah? Says the Gemara, Ilei mekahanim. If you think we can learn that from the kahanim, which they were forced by the Malchi Yisrael, the Israelite kings, which they had separated from Malchi Yehuda, the 10 tribes, they forced the kahanim to be priests for avodah zarah. And the pasuk in Yecheskel tells us that Hashem said, "V'lo yigashu elai l'kahanim." I don't want these kahanim anymore serving for me in the Beis Hamikdash. So you see that if an action was done, they become forbidden. And that says the Gemara, "But v'dim l'shan l'kahanim." Maybe kahanim are different to b'day ininu, where they're people of intellect and they knew better, and therefore it's a penalty. But how do we know regarding an animal which has no das of its own, even if an action was done to it in regards to avodah zarah? But if it's not his own thing, how do we know that he can make it aser? So it's the Gemara of Elam Avni Mizbeach. Rather, the source would be from the stones of the Mizbeach, which the kings of the household of Chashmainam, they went and they concealed those stones and hid them away. Why? Because the Greek kings came and desecrated it and used it for avodah zarah. Now, although the stones were owned by Hekdesh, and a non-Jew cannot come ahead and make something which is not his, that of Hekdesh, forbidden, even so, since an action was done to it, so the rabbis made it forbidden. So you see, this idea, you could ask for davash enishalai if an action was done to it. Says the Gemara, no, v'dimma kidra papa. Maybe the interpretation for that idea by the Chashmanam was because of Rav Papa, as recorded in the previous daf, that he said, they found the pasuk ubo paratzam mechiluluhu, that when they came to desecrate, it actually got removed from the status of hektish to chulin, and therefore the non-Jews acquired it, and therefore they can make it forbidden because it's their own, and then they worship as avodah zarah. But you don't see when it's someone else's that you could go ahead and make it forbidden by doing an action to it. So rather, as we continue to Medbay, it says the Gemara of Eilu Mikalim. Rather, we're learning it out from the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, which the wicked king Achaz had forsaken them. The Chassid, the Pasuk said in Divrei Yom Beis, where he had used it for avodah zarah. So the Kahanim told to Chizkiyah Melech, Veskala Kalim, Asher Znich HaMelech, Achaz, B'machus, B'maloi, that all the vessels which King Achaz had forsaken in his kingdom with the misappropriation of these vessels of avodah zarah, they told him, Hichanu Bigdashnu. We prepared it and we sanctified it with Amamar, where the master had explained in the previous daf in Beis Mabez. What does it mean, Hichan, we prepared it? Sheganzum, where we hid it away. Vikdashnu, what does it mean, we sanctified? Shekdashnu achem tachtem, we made new vessels and sanctified them in its place. Now, v'ha'ein odem oisidah v'sheinah shalai. What do you mean? Why did they have to go ahead and conceal away those vessels? Achaz didn't own it, it's owned by Hekdesh, he's the king. How could he make those vessels forbidden if it's not his? Ella, rather, kiven the avodah b'maisa itzuluhu. Since he did an action, he went and used them for avodah zarah. Therefore, they became forbidden. Meaning that Chizkiah and his colleagues went and made these things forbidden forever, even for a commoner, like it says, gunzim, they had to hide it away. And we don't say that you could redeem it and go ahead and use it for chulun. Why? Because an action was done to it to make it into avodah zarah. Hachanami hirosa kiven shasa b'maisa asa. Once he does an action in someone else's animal, when especially if a Jew goes ahead and does it, we said that it becomes forbidden even for a Hedyot, it becomes forbidden forever, and therefore that resolves the contradiction, as we said in this third approach, where, yeah, they're both talking about forcibly worshipping someone else's animal. But The first braisa said it's mutter, is just bowing down to it, didn't do an action. The second braisa says, Toma, well, you did an action, and that's the source that we brought by the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash, by Melech Achaz, that he was able to make it forbidden, at least, for regarding penalizing it and saying that it's going to be aser because an action was done to it. Another teaching from Rabbi Yechanan, Ki Asra Avdim Yom Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Ava Beisha Amru, HaMashtach V'Lekarka Oilim Lo Asra, although that we said that if someone bows down to virgin, to the land itself, it does not make it forbidden because it's land. Land you can't make forbidden, where it's like the Mekaymes, like we said. But Chafa B'Bayir Shichin Maris, but if someone digs different types of pits and caves over there for the purposes of Avodah Zarah, Aser, then he makes it forbidden even for a commoner. As we said, you're doing an action to it, you're changing the ground, then that will make it forbidden. So to another teaching, Ki Aser Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar B'Yechanan, Ava Pisha Amru is a similar style of a halacha that Ava Pisha Amru Mishtach Vil Balachayim Lo Asan, although that we said that if someone bows down to an animal, a living animal, then he does not make it forbidden for a commoner, meaning for a Gevayah we just spoke about, that you could make it Asr, even someone else's if you did an action. But for a regular person, even if it's his own animal, but if he bows down to it, does not make it forbidden. But Asan Chalipin Lavoid Kechavim, but if let's say he went and he used it as barter for Avodah Zarah, meaning he had an Avodah Zarah, he had an idol, and he gave it to the non-Jew, and the non-Jew in exchange gave him an animal, Asar, and then the animal actually will be Asar as Avodah Zarah. So though he can't make the animal Asar by itself by worshipping it, it's always going to be Mutter, but if he got this animal through exchange by giving an idol, then it is Asar as Avodah Zarah. Now, Ki Asar Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he added on, he said, Pligi bar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi V'Rabbanan. There's a machlekes in this halacha in an added dimension. Charamer, one of these two opinions hold chalipin asur. The only if you exchange, you gave an idol and you got back an animal, then that animal's asur. Chalifi chalifin mutarim. But if let's say you take that animal and you exchange it for a different animal, well then that animal is not going to be asur. But charamer, the other opinion says afil chalipi chalipin nami asur. Even the exchange of the exchange is forbidden. Where if let's say someone had an idol and they gave it to the idol worshiper and they got an animal, then they went and took that animal and exchanged it for a different animal with someone else, that animal, that third one, that third item, is going to be Asr also. Says, Gemara, my time of demand, I'm a chalipa chalipa nasur. What's the reason for the one who holds that even the exchange of exchange is going to be forbidden? What does this have to do with the Avodah Zarah? So on that, Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Varm, V'yisa cheirim kamayu, that it should be for you an abomination like it. What does that teach? And this is in reference to Avodah Zarah. Is kol shat mahayim imenu. The word vayisa is like is existence. Whatever you make exist from it, harehu kamayu. The person saying it's like it, meaning whatever is a derivative, no matter how many chains that it's further down, will be just like the avodah zarah itself. And therefore chalipa chalipa. And that's also going to be asur. Now the idach, but the other opinion holds no. Amakra, the pasuk says. Who? It says, ki cheirim hu, because hu is an exclusionary term, which is hu, v'lei chalipi chalipin. Yeah, what you're mahava from it, but it's still limiting by saying who, it, and not something else, but not the exchange of the exchange. The exchange of exchange will be permitted. But v'idach, the other pin will tell you, no, how hu, mi bayale. That hu is necessary to teach a different exclusionary halacha, not to exclude chalipi chalipin. Chalipin is aser. It's excluding limu'uti arlu b'klai hakerim. To exclude the laws of Arla, which is the laws of the fruits of a tree in its first 3 years, that they're forbidden to have any benefit from it. And Klai Kerem is when there's a forbidden mixture in the vineyard of planting wheat and barley, other things together in there. Which the Pasuk he's learning is telling us that, yeah, the Pasuk says that the transfer, the Chalipin, is going to be Asr. Which means to say that the Avodah Zarah status gets transferred to the money or the animal, whatever it is that you're switching for that Avodah Zarah. Like we said, kol sha'at mahaya, whatever you're making from that Avodah Zarah, even the transfer, even the barter, also becomes asur. But that's what the exclusionary term is teaching. But regards to Arla, yeah, those fruits of the first 3 years, they're forbidden no matter where they are. But it's monetary status, where if, let's say, someone sells the Arla fruits and gets money, then that does not transfer that prohibited status to the money, which is shemachin, v'kiddush b'dmein. If, let's say, someone sells the Arla fruits, gets money, and with that money he engages a woman, Mekudesh is the woman's going to be engaged because the prohibitory status of the Arla does not get transferred to the money and it's considered regular money. Now, although the owner of the Arla actually is prohibited to have benefit from the money, but that benefit that goes to him through the Arla is his problem. But the woman is not benefiting from the Arla itself. She's benefiting from the money that she's getting from this man. Whereas Rashi points out, actually, this halacha would only be appropriate by Kedusha Isha, But generally, rabbinically, it would be forbidden to have benefit from the money. But that's what the biblical law is teaching. That's only going to be the Arla itself that has the status, but the money, or whatever it is that's bartered, transferred from that Arla fruits, is not going to be considered prohibited status as of Avodah Zarah, and that's what it's excluding. Now, V'idach, but the other opinion, who he doesn't have who to exclude Arla and Klai Karim, because he's using to exclude Chalipa Chalipin, he would tell you, no, that Arla and Klai Karim leitzricha mi'uta. They don't need an exclusionary term to tell us that we don't transfer their prohibited status to the money. Why? Because you have the laws of Avodah Zarah and the Shemitah year, that are shnei ksum abam ke'echad, that there's two psukim teaching the same concept, which is that their prohibited status gets transferred to the money where you're redeeming it with, and even though the item is forbidden wherever it is, meaning the Avodah Zarah and the Shemitah produce, still the status gets transferred to the money, and that's prohibited too. Now, shnei ksum abam ke'echad, whenever you have one law that's being taught in two different psukim, a malamdin, then that actually tells you cannot learn that out to anywhere else. Because if it would, say it in one place. I'll note it then compare it to everywhere else. Why do you have to say it by two places? Obviously, saying only these two places, not anywhere else. And therefore, that tells us that, of course, Arla and Klai Karim won't have that halacha of chalipin, because you cannot learn it out from Avodah Zarah and Shviz, because there's two psukim saying the same idea. Where do we find this? Regarding Avodah Zarah, it's what we said, where it says v'yisachem kamayhu, that whatever you make from the Avodah Zarah, the chalipin, are going to have the same prohibited status. And Shvius regarding Shemitah produce, the pasuk says in Vayikram, it says ki yovelhi, which the laws of Shemitah and Yovel are similar. That's what the Gemara is bringing from that pasuk, because it's Yovel, it's the 50th Jubilee year. Kaidish tiyalachem, holy it should be for you. What does that mean when saying it's kaidish? Which is teaching this idea. Ma kaidish teif is damav, just like regarding hektish, where the transfer from a hektish item to money actually transfer the hektish status to the money, like it says in the pasuk ufod the be'erkecha, that you're going to redeem in pasuk in Vayikra with your erech vow, which is that's we know how halachas of hektish are, that if there's an item of hektish, it could then be transferred onto money and va'asra, and it's forbidden. So you find the pasuk is telling you that Shemitah produce is the same idea, that when you sell, let's say, Shemitah produce to someone else, you get money, then that money now gets the sanctity of Shemitah produce and it's forbidden. Now, but then the question is, Ima Kodesh, but if you're comparing it to Hekdesh, well, by Hekdesh, the halacha is Teifes is Damav, V'yetzel Chulin. Yeah, the money now gets the Hekdesh status, but now the original Hekdesh item becomes Chulin. Then I would tell you, then Shemitah produce should be the same thing. If you're learning from Hekdesh, that yeah, the money that you transfer the Shemitah produce becomes holy, but then the original Shemitah produce should be unconsecrated and be permitted. Tamalim, as the pasuk teaches, Tia. The word it says there in the pasuk is that it should be. The word Tia, as we said similarly before, regarding the laws of Avodah Zarah, V'yisachem Kamayu, is B'Havayasate, that it will always be in that existence. Okay, so how is this? So explains the Gemara, Lokach beperish shviz baser. If a person buys, meaning bartering, he gives Shemitah produce to someone and in exchange he gets meat, Elu ve'elu mizbarim b'shviz. Both of them have to be eaten before what's called the time of beer, which is before the animals in the field don't have any more from that species. It has to be go ahead and eliminated by that point. You can't have it anymore. Both of them will have this status of the Shemitah produce. Like we said, the original item, which is just like Avodah Zarah, that the what you transmit it to gets that sanctity, that status, and also the original item maintains that too. Now, but let's say lakach bebasar dagim. Let's say the meat that you got from the Shemitah produce, now you bartered that. You go and you gave someone else that meat and you got fish. But here the halacha is yatsa basa nichnasu dagim. Now the meat gets removed from the Shemitah produce status. It is regular chul now. And the fish takes its place because the tfisa, the transfer doesn't, is not that strong that whatever gets transferred to gets the Shemitah produce status. So here already basa gets eliminated and fish takes the place. But dagim yayin, let's say he takes the fish and he buys wine. So yatsa dagim nichnas yayin. So now the fish is not anymore the prohibited status of Shemitah, but the wine takes its place. B'yayin shemen, let's say with the wine he buys oil. Yatsayayim, and shemen, now the wine is removed from that status and oil takes the place. So okay, so how do you explain this? Acher and acher nitvas b'shviz, the last one that you end up holding the bull with, that's the one that will have the status of the Shemitah produce. Upriyatzma and the original fruit of the Shemitah year, which was the first thing that was sold, those two items, meaning the original Shemitah produce and the last thing you end up getting benefit from when you bartered seven times, the last thing you get, both of them are going to be aser. So therefore, you have two psukim of Avodizara and Shemitah produce that are both saying the same idea, which is that this tfisas de mehen, that the chalipin is going to be aser, so you don't need to have a pasuk to exclude, like the other opinion was saying, of Arl and Klai Kerem, because we know by default you're not going to say that halacha, because it's only these two things. But v'idach, the other opinion held that, no, k'sabash, nekesum abavim ke'echad, milam, that he holds, which is a machlekes in Shas, that even if you have two psukim saying the same idea, you could learn off of it. And therefore, you needed the word hud to exclude Arl and Klai Kerem to say that you don't say chalipin, that its prohibited status gets transferred to its money. And therefore, you don't have hu as extra to exclude chalipin chalipin. And that's why that opinion held that not only is chalipin asr by Avodah Zarah, but even chalipin chalipin, even the transfer of the transfer, will also have that prohibited status of Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of Avodah Zarah, which is a conclusion of this primary topic of Avodah Zarah, which the next Mishnah is going to transfer to the laws of Yayin Nesach, which is one of the subcategories of the laws of Avodah Zarah, and brings Agadic teaching. Shalu, they had asked, as has Kain and Beremi, regarding the elders, the Jewish elders in Rome, the non-Jews asked, look, if his will, meaning referring to Hashem, is not desirable for Avodah Zarah, so why didn't he just get rid of him? So Amr Lehen, so the elders said to the non-Jews, look, if the idol worshippers were worshipping things that the world doesn't need, so Hashem would get rid of it. But look, people worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. So he should get rid of his world because of fools? We need these things for the world. So they said back to the Talmid Chachamim, well, im came, but if that's the case, ya'avad davar she'ain tzarech lo'olam bayit. Okay, at least let him get rid of the things that the world doesn't need, v'yaniach davar she'tzarech lo'olam bayit, and let him leave the things that the world does need, but at least get rid of those avodah zarah that the world doesn't need. Amalahan, so the elders said back to the non-Jews, af anu machzikin yidei avdein shalel, then we would actually be supporting the worshippers of these. Meaning whoever worships the sun and the moon, if we would see that the other idols got destroyed by themselves and these would be maintained, we would actually be supporting them. Sha'aymu, they're going to say, oh, teidu shehin elohis, you should know that they must be gods, shaharehin lebadlu, because you see they weren't ruined, obviously because they're real things, and therefore Hashem couldn't pick and choose, and therefore he decided to leave them all, because why should he destroy his world? Because the fools decide to worship it. Now the Rebbe brings a brisa that elaborates on this Mishnah. Try to learn the brisa. Sha'olu falasifin, the sages of the non-Jews, the philosophers, asked, as Haskein the Beremi, the Jewish elders in Rome, if your God doesn't desire idol worship, why doesn't he just abolish it? So Amalahem, he said to them, look, if they were worshipping things that the world doesn't need, get rid of it. But they worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and the mazales. Get rid of his world because of the fools? And which is important words that the Gemara is going to bring. Rather, the world runs as it always does. V'shaytim shel kilkalu, and the fools that ruin it, asid and litnas adin, they're going to have to ultimately come to the judgment because of their actions. Dava achar, another interpretation, meaning a similar type of a response to certain devious actions. Harisha guzzle saw shel chitim. Someone steals a certain measurement, a saw of wheat. V'halach v'zar b'karka, and he goes and he plants it in the ground. The justice would be that it shouldn't sprout, because this is Hashem's world. And the person, Hashem says, you can't steal, and he steals and puts it in the ground, Hashem shouldn't let it sprout. Rather, the world runs as it always does, what we would call nature. Hashem made the Bria like that. And the fools who ruin and do things which are not the way Hashem wants the world to be will ultimately pay for it and come to judgment for it. But Hashem lets it be as he makes it appear to be the laws of nature. Another case like this. Someone has relations with his friend's wife. Justice should be that she should not become pregnant, because this is not what Hashem wants. Hashem is the one who does everything. But rather, Hashem has the world go as it always does. And the fools who ruin things, they'll have to give judgment for it, but Hashem will let this woman become pregnant. And this is what Rish Lakish says regarding this last case. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not enough for the wicked that they make my stamp public, which is that my stamp that I have, which is like the term of my coin, the wicked make it as if it's hefker, ownerless. Whoever wants to go and use my seal could use it. In other words, what does it mean Hashem's seal? That they have relations with women that are forbidden to them. And against my will, they make me go ahead and have give make them give birth. So not enough that they're using my stamp at will, rather they make me go through the effort, so to speak, and they make me sign against my will, meaning that I go ahead and I form the child against my will and make the child come forth from these people. Because again, this was a decree in front of me, says Hashem, that the world should run as it always appears to be. Which Rashi wonders, where does Rish Lakish, which pasuk is he expounding that Hashem, so to speak, complains about this? Which Rashi brings that in Tanchuma, they bring him from the pasuk Tzur Yilat Chateshi, which is that from that pasuk they expound this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want this, but I made the world should be like this, and if people want to ruin things, I'll go along with them, but they're going to have to end up paying for this. Similarly, the Gemara continues, Shal philosoph echad is Rabbi Gamliel. A philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel, it says in your Torah in Devarim, Ki Hashem alekecha, because Hashem your God, Eish oichluhu, he's a consuming fire, El Kana, a vengeful God, meaning that he's vengeful to take revenge on those who worship Avodah Zarah. So the philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel, Memneima meskana b'ivadeh, why is your God vengeful against those who worship Avodah Zarah? Vein meskana ba, why is he not vengeful against Avodah Zarah itself? So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, look, I'll give you a parable what this can be compared to. To a flesh and blood king who had one son. And this son had a dog that he was holding on to. And he called the dog his father, the king's name. And when he would swear, he would say, I swear by the life of this dog with his father's name. Now, when the king hears that he's calling the dog his name, who is he going to be angry at? Is he going to be angry at the son? Or is he going to be angry at the dog? He's going to be angry at the son. The dog didn't do anything. Hiroso, the Avodah Zarah, didn't do anything. These people, they're the fools. They're the stupid ones. They're calling it God. They're the ones who are using my name and calling this piece of wood. It's at them that I'm angry. So the philosopher said to him, Kelavat the Kairos, you're calling the Avodah Zarah in your parable a dog? But there is substance to the Avodah Zarah. Amaloi said to him, Amari, so what did you see? How do you know there's substance to the Avodah Zarah? Amaloi said to him, Pamachas naflo deleka beirenu. One time there was a fire in our city. Venisifa kolir kul, and the whole entire city went up in smoke. Va'isa besavitz kacham leinisif. And that house of worship of the Avodah Zarah was the one building that didn't get up and wasn't burnt. Obviously, there must be a power to it. I'll give you a parable what this can be compared to a flesh and blood king who his country rebelled against him. Now, when the king's going to fight back, who is he going to fight? Against the living or against the dead? You would say that he's going to fight against the living and he's going to take away all their money. It's against them that he's going to fight. So, When he's burning up this city because you're all idol worshippers, he doesn't care about the idol. That's dead. He's not going to fight against him. He's going to fight against you, who you're alive, and you are the people that he's going to punish. He's going to burn up your houses, which is like taking away the money of the people who's rebelling against him. Some believe, so the philosopher said to him, Kelavat the Kariyosa, first you call it a dog, Mesat the Kariyosa, now you call it a dead. Imkain, you have denim and ilim. So why doesn't Hashem just get rid of it? If it doesn't have substance and it's like a dog, like a dead. So Amalei Gamliel said to him, look, if the idol worshippers were only worshipping things that the world has no need for, Harei Mavatlas, Hashem would abolish it. But they're worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, La'afikim, for these wellsprings, L'geyoyis, and V'valleys. So Ya'avad Elam, and they shait him, shake rid of his world because of the fools. So do the Patsy says in Tzafaniyah, as we continue to have Nunheim and Aleph, Asayif Asayif Kail. Hashem says, what, I should destroy everything? Me'al p'nei adama, from on the surface of the earth? No, Hashem, that's what Hashem says? What, asif adama behema, I should liquidate man and animal? Asif oif ha-shemayim adigayim, I should get rid of the birds in the heaven and the fish in the sea? V'machshelis esarisham v'gemer, and all those things that the wicked people stumble on? As the Gemara explains. V'chimim neshar hasham nechshamem, because the wicked people stumble on it, yavdim in ha'ilim, I should destroy it and get rid of it from the world? But v'halayla adam einayvdim, they also worship man. So that's where the pasuk says, v'chrati yasa adam al pnei adama v'gomer, I should now get rid of man from the face of the earth because they're worshiping man? Hashem says, no, these are the fools. They're going to pay judgment, but I'm not going to get rid of my world because people are doing foolish things and worshiping everything that there is in the world. And therefore, that's why Hashem does not get rid of the avodah zarah from the face of the earth.